Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson and you're with UrbanBuzzMag.com and I have Super Dave West on the line with me. Let me tell you, we got a gospel single out called Goodness Praise Break featuring Jason Hendrickson and we are playing it on our station. I love it, Dave, let me tell you, because we play the most diverse gospel online, period. One of my favorite genres is gospel house. So thank you. So tell me how you got involved with this project.
I guess it was in the middle of the pandemic. I was really just soul searching and fasting. And it was one of those periods where things were just feeling like, oh my God, what's going to happen, right? I had this very strong download about changing up some of the music that I've been doing, which had been on my mind, but it was like a really strong impression. I knew God was talking to me about it. And there was a spot that I went to in that period, invited by a friend, and they were playing a record by a producer named Charisma, and he had sampled the Work It Out record, which a lot of people probably know, in a house fashion. And it was, I saw the emotion in the room change. Like, wow. Like, people really need that and don't know where to get.
Right.
As I listened to it, I was just like, no, when we come out of this, people need to really know how to praise God for everything that they need to praise Him for. And the exercise of such, like, what's the simplest way? And I wanted to make something that was undeniably church.
Right.
And gospel. And so I came up with the plan, like, I need to outdo that song so that people really know how to praise God. Keep it simple. I mean, the gospel mantra of all times is, you know, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, I could dance all night.
I love it. I'm a former club girl, so I love dancing. If you go to the website right now on the radio page, there's a gospel house set. I feel you on that. One, just because we Christians, you do believe we can still dance and have fun, right, Dave?
Right.
Okay, so, you know, no, because there's people who really don't believe that. I mean, even David dancing out his clothes and everything, they still think that, you know, maybe something's wrong with that. Right. But I remember going on a Christian boat ride, and I was happy to go because I thought it was a Christian boat ride. And the only Christian song they played at the time, and I'm dating myself, was Stomp. And I was like, are you kidding me? There's so much gospel music out here that we can listen to instead of subjecting ourselves to some of the, you know, other songs. What's happening right now? Now, yes, I don't think on Sunday we should be in church thinking it's the club. You know, we need to have a holy day. Can we have a holy day? Yes. So what's your thoughts about kingdom music? Let me hear from a super producer, Super Dave West. Tell us what's going on about kingdom music and how we can enjoy it as Christians.
I can talk from my perspective of, like, this single, right? This single was engineered to reach the people that normally wouldn't be able to get that. And so, Pastor Jay, I needed him to monologue in that song and kind of direct the narrative about why and how.
Right.
Around what was being, you know, sung, like, in the song. So I saw that as an outreach ministry of where my position is. Like, where can I be effective in kingdom music? That was directly where I could be effective. And a lot of people in that genre are like, man, you know, I really listen to that song. A song is saying a lot, and it reminds me of, like, when I used to go to church and what my auntie taught me. And so it's witnessing inside of that.
Right. And, I love
it. The kingdom music, I think, depending on how you're directing it, obviously being led by, you know, God.
Right.
You're the master director. You follow suit.
And right.
You're obedient in your life and how you move. And, you know, paying attention to where God puts you at, there's a lot that can be done. There's a lot of ways to be effective.
Right.
And I see it like that. That's the basis of it. Like, where am I standing at? Why am I here? I'm usually in the right place at the right time. God don't make no mistakes. Let me just pay attention. And that's what I did.
I love it. And also, you know, your background is from hip hop to gospel, most genres as a producer. I like what you said. When the Holy Spirit, when God gives you an assignment, it's an assignment. Now, just you may not be able to handle producing for Snoop and then producing for the Clarks, but I am. You know what I'm saying? So talk about that experience. Yeah. Talk from that place.
To be quite honest, the Snoop thing, let's take Snoop. That's probably a really juicy one. I was tired of not being able to be a part of certain narratives. I normally produce hip-hop in a way more, like De La Soul is a big client of mine. A bunch of albums, a bunch of expression there. Really solid, family-oriented hip-hop. Like,
right.
You know, really clean, conscious hip-hop. You know, if there was one song in particular, I really didn't like the subject matter.
Right.
Now, art versus commerce, I'm dealing with a client, and I can't really tell what they're going to do over the song. It's kind of like why you got to watch where you place your music at or whose hands you put it in. But I try to gauge my music with a community of people that are actually saying something. And like I said, the revelation I kind of had during the pandemic, but I wasn't liking what was going on out here in this music. And even in the conscious space, it just wasn't saying enough. I wanted to, like, get back to the roots of, like, being more direct outside of just my life with my music. Like, there needs to be a connection. They need to know what I'm about. Anybody with what I sound like as far as my music, it may be a little edgy here and there, but it's digestible and there's a message in it.
Absolutely. I always say that. There's a message in the music, for real, for real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I love that you said you started out with De La Soul, a positive, definitely, attribute to the hip-hop community, so the transition was smooth and easy because it wasn't nothing like you had to be delivered. But it's excellent that you can use your talent, skills, and abilities in every aspect of your creativity and your ability to be a producer. You're also a drummer. Tell us about that.
We started out in church, and that was the first stomping ground as far as music was concerned, and understanding melody, understanding song structure, understanding the power of music. I got very early on the power of being a conduit. What God's trying to do.
Uh-huh.
We got very masterful of playing a service and ushering in the spirit and just knowing how to play.
Right.
In that setting, being a true minstrel, like in that way, from a dead serious ministry side, we got that early. So I came from Bethel Gospel Tabernacle, Bishop Roderick R. Caesar. It's a legendary church out of Queens, New York. And so a bunch of everybody came through there.
Right.
And I'm talking about major stars and local talent and guest pastors. So it was like one of those churches where I was a student to a whole lot when I was young. And it started from there. Like, that's where I got that first teaching from.
And so then how did you
singing. I sang in the choir, too.
Oh, okay. Singing in the choir. Good stuff.
And the transition? The transition, like anybody else in my time and my age group, started, listening to music and being influenced by culture. I was a drummer that got really popular. It kind of took me around the world.
Wow.
At first it was weird because I was very cutting edge. I put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my approach to the music, in certain ways, it didn't, like, my pastor didn't agree with some of, like, just my musical ability. We were ahead of our time. And, like a lot of, PKs or people in that position, it pushed me out of the church. And I went on the road and I started playing drums for a lot of different groups and things like that. Even in those settings, like, where my mother prayed over me before I left and went to Europe and stuff, I ended up talking people off the ledge, off the suicide and stuff. Like, I was a witness when I was on the road. So
right.
It's like, nothing about my life was a mistake. And so I don't see it that way. Even though I mentioned the whole church experience, like, that wasn't a door that was closed off. Like, God didn't give me any mixed signals about that.
Right. I love it.
I didn't know that I was loved and I was accepted and that I was effective where I needed to be. This is my gift. This is my ministry where I'm supposed to be.
I love it.
Maybe somebody else's is better.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier.
That's why I come current day. Yeah, that's why I can exist right now and not be consumed by a bunch.
I love it.
That's what it is.
What's one of your favorite projects you worked on? I mean, I know you enjoy everything you do, but is there anything special or any artist you worked with that you was like, yo, this was it?
I'm really excited, and this is not a cheap plug, but I'm really excited about a Holy Land album, Holy Ground. I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be Holy Land or Holy Ground. It's the record that I'm doing with Pastor Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm.
I used to single from that record, and this record is going to be very dance-oriented. There was a Kickstarter campaign that I did with De La for the album and the Anonymous Nobody, and it was an album that was constructed very carefully over a couple of years of jam sessions in L.A. with a bunch of really popular L.A. musicians, and from that, we took footage of that music and then made songs out of that music, either by me sampling and configuring music or by footage that was just captured very well, and then we turned that into songs. It was a wonderful process. It helped me be a conduit from the musicians to De La Soul, De La Soul to the musicians. I wore a bunch of hats from an executive production standpoint, but it taught me a lot about human behavior, and it taught me a lot about being a musician and a conduit and spirit and stuff, and like how people are affected by their gifts and a bunch of stuff like that. That record was Records on Kickstarter, where we raised $630,000 for that campaign.
Wow.
At the time, the biggest person was, I think, TLC, that came somewhere around almost $300,000 in the Kickstarter campaign. And then we got a Grammy nod for that record, too. So that was a very forward kind of like motion. It took me from just being, it blew the lid off the production process for me.
Right.
The Quincy Jones hands-on kind of making a masterpiece kind of album groove than just, hey, send me some tracks and let's go in the studio, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing like live instruments.
Oh, yeah.
Are you interested in doing another live album?
People aren't moving around as much as they have been. So there's a lot of scheduling that's happening. Day to day is very tight with how people are moving.
Uh-huh.
So being in a live setting is like, it definitely has to be a stated, like, contractual thing. It's not like everybody lives in the same demographic anymore and everybody can just show up, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's really who I am.
Yeah, I was watching the documentary of We Are the World, and I was like, we need another one of those. So I'm going to put Super Dave West on that assignment. we'll be waiting for it.
I can do that.
We need it. We need it.
And there's a lot of great gospel artists in the space that have paved the way for a lot.
Right.
You know, for me to be able to do some of that in this time and space.
Right, because they all did it for free. They just went and, you know, gave the proceeds to the organization they did it for. And I said that too. I was like, huh, boy, all these egos, I don't even know if we could do that today. Maybe, I don't know, but I'm just saying, maybe. We're throwing it out there. Nigeria Anderson and Super Dave West, we're calling you out. If you want to do it, you reach out to me, and me and Super Dave West to do another 2024 version of We Are the World. We said it.
Absolutely.
That's right. We said it. So tell us more about who Super Dave West is and what you're looking for in the future. We know this album is coming out. It's going to be slamming. The single is doing great, climbing up the charts, Goodness Praise Break, featuring Jason Hendrickson. You can get it on your digital outlets. But Super Dave West, what's the future looking like for you?
Better life. You know, you live a certain amount of life, and so now it's just, you know, I'm at a certain age and just trying to take care of myself and my health so I can, you know, have the antennas up and get the downloads and know what God is saying to me and be aware of, like, the position that I'm in. Just hard work. Not done. I'm not done yet. And just more collaboration. I want to put out more music that actually means something.
Come on.
Every piece has to be important. I'm not trying to do anything super miscellaneous. Like everything has to be, without trying, of course, because I'm very good at not trying to do anything, but doing a lot.
Right.
So I just want to do stuff that sticks and makes a statement, like I believe Goodness Praise Break is doing. Like, it is the exact mixture of the house / praise break feel. A lot of that hasn't been done in a certain fashion, and not from a real authentic place, but I have, you know? So it's the church kids, side of that thing, you know?
Is there anyone particular you would like to work with that you haven't yet?
I definitely want to work with the Ty.
Mm-hmm.
We all run in some of the same circles, being from that side of the place.
Mm-hmm.
But something specific, and then a lot of, especially in like what I'm doing now, you know, there's a a lot of artists that would never touch that because they don't consider that gospel. Like, even what I did with Jay might be a little edgy, especially Andrea Johnson, you know, even like Kirby Brown, you know. You know, he does gospel, right? I want to hear him over my brand of gospel. All the way out to the greats, you know. I still want to meet Quincy Jones. I want to sit down and talk swing arrangement with Quincy Jones. I have a wonderful friend named Maurice Heard. We call him Piranha Head. He's from Detroit. And George Clinton literally named him Piranha Head. Like, you Piranha Head.
Yeah.
He's a funky guy from Detroit, but he's one of the last Mohicans that actually arranges strings, like, from a Motown perspective. And so, you know, working with people like that is getting some bigger expression. I can't say a whole bunch about what I don't know. Like,
right.
To where God brings me to with that.
I love that answer.
I'm active. I'm on the field. I'm, like, on the field right now. So I'm not legendary yet. Like, I'm not finished. I'm still in action.
Hey, you're legendary to me, okay? Yeah, nah, we, you know, I don't ever understand whose standard we're going by, but, you know, my spirit and assignment is to be an encourager, so it's not gaslighting or nothing. It is just by the Spirit of God that I have to remind the people of God that y'all great. You know, you're great at whatever state you're in, you're great. You know, again, you know, who we competing with when we're the children of God. Okay, so I feel my help coming. So let me move forward. no, because this happens. You don't know. You got to listen to some of the interviews. It can go. Okay, so Goodness Praise Break featuring Jason Hendrickson is out now. This is Super Dave West, one of the producers of the track, out here doing his thing. Let them know your website or how they can reach you and how they can get the download.
Everywhere, you know, that you find most things. Digital Native is my moniker because I'm coming from a digital native place. Most people online are digital natives now. And I do come from affiliation of native tongues, and that was kind of like an 80s, 90s thing. This is a digital native thing.
I love it.
And so that's digital native. And you'll see that a lot. I'm still Super Dave West. It's the same person. TrackSource is also a place where DJs and dance creators can find it. But everywhere else, you know, Digital Native Man on Instagram is the moniker. So that's who it is. So glad to be here. Thank you for this interview.
No, thank you. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and prosper and drop new music and produce new songs by whoever God sends your way, please allow us to be one of your media outlets. We're here for it all day. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.